Praise God. And it is a wonderful thing that we can have the peace of our God in our hearts, even when we live in a world that's so full of turmoil and trouble. Praise God. It's a peace that passes all understanding. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to open our Bibles this morning, and we're going to be turning to Leviticus chapter 17 to begin with. I'm putting a title on this message today. We're calling this The Free Gift. The Free Gift. And we are going to begin in Leviticus in just a moment, but before I read even one verse, we need to pray one more time, so let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee for this blessed opportunity to open this precious book. We thank Thee, Lord, for this opportunity to learn of Thee, of Thy mercy, and of Thy grace, and of Thy goodness to us. We're so thankful, God, for Thy promises, and we're thankful for the promise of Thy precious gift. We pray, Lord, that Thou would help us to embrace Thy word. We pray, Lord, that we would be firmly focused on Thee here this day. Let there be no hindrances here this morning, but we pray, Lord, that Thou would anoint our minds, anoint our hearts, anoint our souls, make us ready to receive Thy word. We pray, Lord, that Thy Spirit would be upon each and every one of us. Give us that precious gift of the Holy Ghost, and let there be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness, any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that Thou art sovereign, that there is none greater than Thee, there is none beside Thee. Thou art the Lord, and there is no other. We pray, Lord, that we would fully and firmly be fixed on Thee. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would receive and understand. And we pray, Lord, that Thy word would do a work in our hearts and in our minds here this day. Bless this service, we pray. Bless this study, we pray. Bless this message, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, everybody loves gifts, don't they? And, you know, sometimes you'll even maybe get something in the mail and they say, there's a free gift inside. And you open it up and you look at it, you're hoping for something good. But invariably, when you get mail like that and it says there's a free gift inside, most of the time that free gift is very disappointing. But, you know, there's always this hope in your heart. Maybe this is something good. Well, gifts in this world can be disappointing. But we know the one who has many precious gifts for us. He has many promises for us. And he has a free gift for us that is far better than any gift that any man or any woman or any child could ever give you. It is the gift of salvation through faith in Him by His blood. And blood is extremely important. Even in our own bodies, we know that blood is extremely important to us. If you do not have enough blood pumping through your veins, you will die. We know that blood serves very important functions. It delivers oxygen and transport nutrients throughout your body. It takes out waste, and it protects you as well from disease and from other problems that may crop up. Your blood serves those three very vital, important functions, and you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ does the same thing for us as well. It brings to us vital truth, vital nutrients. It gives us the ability to function and to live. It cleanses us from all iniquity. It purifies us. And it defends us. Blood is very important. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 17. And the reason I want to turn to this chapter to begin with is because this little chapter in Leviticus demonstrates how important blood is. Leviticus 17, and we're going to start with verse 1. Of course, this was the old covenant, and they had rules in place for how they would perform sacrifices. And they would do animal sacrifices. We know that those sacrifices that they performed pointed forward to Jesus Christ, who would become the perfect sacrifice for us. There would be none greater, and you can never go back to the animal sacrifices that we're reading about in this chapter in Leviticus. You can't go back, because these were imperfect sacrifices. But this chapter is going to tell us how important blood is. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 1 tells us, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, What man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people." Now this was something that the Israelites had to do. They had to bring these animal sacrifices. And it was something that they had to do over and over and over again. Of course, we know from recently studying the book of Hebrews that Jesus offered himself once for us, and that is sufficient. We need no other sacrifices. That one was perfect because his blood, which he shed for us, was perfect. But here we see they had to do this in the Old Covenant. And verse 5 tells us, "To the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord." And they would do this. They had to do it. In fact, the priest, the high priest on the Day of Atonement, would go into the holiest of holies and sprinkle blood. He had to do that every year. But they don't do that anymore, because Jesus sprinkled his own blood for us. Praise God. And he did that on the altar in heaven. Now, verse 7 tells us, "And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations." You know, there are a lot of religions where people would offer sacrifices. And they would offer them to false deities, to false gods, who in reality were actually devils. In fact, the scriptures tell us that very thing right now. Those false gods that other people worship are devils, because there's only one God. And we know that his name is Jesus Christ. There's only one. Of course, we know that the name Jesus means Savior. And we know that the title Christ means Anointed One. So yes, our God is our Savior. And you can read the book of Isaiah where it tells us there's only one Savior. God said that beside him there is no Savior. So if God is the Savior and Jesus is the Savior, then that means that Jesus is God. Because there's only one Savior. All those other gods that people suppose to worship are really devils in disguise. And here God is instructing the Israelites, you are not to offer sacrifices to those devils. You are not to offer sacrifices and go a-whoring after those strange religions. And there are a lot of strange religions out there. It seems like there's more all the time. They make new ones. Did you know that? Yes, there's constantly new religions cropping up. And people will gather followers. Some people are very gullible, aren't they? And they like to follow men, great prophets, gurus, whatever the case may be. And some people get so caught up following these teachers that they have more respect for a person, a man, than they have for God. And that's a terrible way to be. Now, verse 8 tells us, "And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among the people." This applied to the strangers too, those who weren't Jewish or Israelite by blood. If they were living with the Israelites and they wanted to offer a sacrifice, they could only offer it to the Lord. They weren't allowed to offer sacrifices to anyone else. Verse 10, "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people." And of course, we know that there were a lot of dietary restrictions in the Old Covenant. There were a lot of things you could not do, a lot of things you could not eat. Of course, we know that in the New Covenant, there's only three restrictions. We are not to eat food that's been offered to idols. We are not to eat blood, and we are not to eat things that are strangled. So this prohibition we see here in Leviticus still applies today. And you can read that in Acts chapter 15 if you're curious. So here he's telling them you cannot eat blood. Why? Because blood is very, very important. Blood brings life. Verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." And you know what? That's still true today. It's the blood that makes an atonement for our souls, but it's not the blood of bulls and of goats. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the blood that makes an atonement for our souls. That is the blood that was offered for our atonement. And that word atone means to make amends or reparation. As for an offense or a crime or for an offender. And you can take that word apart, atonement, and what do you have? At-one-ment. It reconciles you to God. Atonement. That's what Jesus came to do for us, to bring us atonement, so that we can be united with Him, so that we can be united with Him and our hearts can be in heaven, and we are the recipients of that precious gift, that free gift, His blood that He shed for us. Because He did that, we today have access to the throne of grace. They couldn't do that in the Old Covenant. They had to go through intermediaries. They had priests. They had prophets. Most people in Israel never heard from the Lord directly. And they certainly could not go to the throne of grace. But we, as Christians, as blood-bought Christians, have that opportunity now. We can go to that throne of grace because of the blood that was shed for us. Because of the atonement that Jesus made for us. Yes, blood is vital, it is necessary. Blood is required for life. And for us to have a spiritual life, it requires the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood applied to your heart is what makes you alive spiritually. Amen. So they were told in this chapter, life of the flesh is in the blood. Life is in the blood. And our life, our spiritual life, what makes us alive is that precious blood, that free gift that was given to us, that precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to turn to Romans chapter 5. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to begin with verse 1. And of course, this is a beautiful chapter, but really this entire book of Romans is a beautiful book. Let's start with verse 1 here in chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's wonderful to be at peace with God. It's wonderful that He came and shed His blood for us so that we could be reconciled to God. So that we can have peace through that blood that was shed for us. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Because that blood was shed for us, we have access to the throne of grace right now. You have privileges as an adopted child of the Lord Jesus. And you can come to Him now. We may be physically standing on this planet Earth, but your heart can be in heaven right now. You can be in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And you can bring your petitions before the Lord. You can seek the Lord. You have access to His throne because of the blood that He shed for us. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You know, tribulation may not be pleasant, but you get something out of it, don't you? You get patience. And you get something out of patience, too. They say patience is a virtue, and it is. You learn from patience. And it tells us what we get from patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. We see a progression there. Tribulation works patience. That patience brings experience. And because of our experience with God, because of His strengthening power, we have hope. And we have hope because He gave us that precious free gift. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. You hear about things like that happening occasionally, when someone might give their life to save the life of another. And generally, when somebody does that, they do it for a loved one or someone they consider to be a good person. Jesus gave His life for sinners. People who had no good in and of themselves. Yet He shed His blood for us. That is not something that anyone else would ever do. No one else would die for our sins. And anyone who ever says they would, well, they're lying. You know, people can do so many evil things. They can be so treacherous. And would you want to give your life for someone like that? I think most people would answer no. And yet that's what Jesus did for us. And we didn't deserve that. But He did it for us. It's an amazing and an astonishing thing, the love of God that He has for His people. I can't explain it. Because it's beyond human nature. It's not something an ordinary man or woman would do. And yet Jesus did it for us, and because of that, we have hope. Verse 8 tells us, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. What saves us from wrath? What saves us from an eternity in hell? It's that precious blood that was shed for us. That's what justifies us. And that's the only thing that can justify us. You cannot justify yourself. Your works cannot justify you. But that blood must be applied to your life. That blood must be applied to your heart. We can stand before God one day, and if we're washed in the blood when we stand before Him, we won't have any other way to justify ourselves, but we won't have to try to justify ourselves. And I would not want to stand before the Lord Jesus without that blood applied. Many people will be in that very situation. They'll have to try to answer for all the wrong that they have done. And yet when we stand before Him, if we stay true to God, if we stay true to God and we stand before Him on Judgment Day, that blood will cover all of our sins. They will not be imputed to us. They will not be seen. And we will hear those precious words from our God, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord." And all of that is made possible by the blood. That is the only thing that can justify us. There's nothing else that can justify us. Verse 10, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Because He lives, we can live. Because He gives us His life." How does He do that? He gives us His blood. He applies that blood to our heart, and that's what makes us alive. Verse 11, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." That's how He reconciles us, by His blood. That's how we receive the atonement, by His blood. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Of course, we know that there was no old covenant law until Moses came along. So death reigned from Adam to Moses. And when Moses was there, God gave him the law. And Moses was then instructed to give that law to the people. But that law made all of them aware of their sins, and they had certain things they had to do. They had to follow certain procedures. They had to offer animal sacrifices because the perfect sacrifice had not yet come. And we're no longer under that old covenant law, but now we are under a covenant of grace, because that's what the grace of God is all about. When He shed His blood for us, when Jesus went to that cross and shed His blood, that was Him extending grace to us. Verse 15 tells us, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." You know, sin entered into this world by one man. But salvation entered into this world by one man as well. Jesus came to undo what Adam had done. To retrace the footsteps of fallen man. To give us a way of escape. And in so doing, He shed His blood for us. That is the free gift. And by that gift, grace abounds. Mercy abounds. Salvation abounds. Verse 16, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one for condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense Death reigned by one, much more they, which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. That free gift. There's nothing you could do to earn it anyway. You can't save up reward points for this gift. It's a free gift because you could never pay for it. And yet Jesus offers it to us. Offers it to us freely. Something that you could never pay for. That is grace. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Because he came into this world and offered himself for us, we can be recipients of that precious free gift. And that blood can be applied to your heart right now. And because that blood can be applied to your heart, you can gain access to the throne of grace. Praise God. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22 tell us, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You see, that's how you draw nigh to that throne of grace. By the blood that was shed for us, by the blood that's applied to our hearts. And we can have boldness. You can go to that throne right now. Whatever your needs may be, you have access to that throne. There's power in the blood. We were singing about that earlier. Yes, there's power. There's cleansing power. There's victorious power. Through the blood of Jesus, we can overcome sin, death, hell. We can overcome the enemy. We can overcome the devil through that blood of Jesus.
Praise God.
And since you are a child of God and his blood has been applied to your life, you are entitled to use that power. And you have power over the evil one, power over the enemy. He doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to forget it. But there is great power in the blood of Jesus. You are entitled to that. Let's look at Galatians chapter 4. And I'll show you why you're entitled to that. Galatians chapter 4, starting with verse 1, it tells us, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And we were all in bondage at one point. But then we came to Jesus. We repented of our sins. We were buried in his name. The blood was applied. And because of that, we were made children of God. Verse 4. I'm going to read verse 3. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, saying, Abba, Father. Of course, we know that's a term of endearment. It's like saying, Daddy. And we know that he is our Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And what is it that makes us an heir of God through Christ? The blood applied. Your blood bought.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Praise God. You know, that blood of the Lord Jesus is so important. Let's turn now to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and of course, this is a wonderful chapter because this chapter makes it very clear who Jesus Christ is. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, it tells us, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Yes, we have a hope laid up in heaven because we have heard the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And it is the grace of God that we know the truth. But we also know that the scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So to know the truth is to know Jesus Christ. And we also know that Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And we are free in Jesus Christ. We live in a country where people like to talk about freedom. And they get very patriotic. They're always talking about freedom. This country is not as free as people like to make it out to be. But we do have genuine, true freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And we should lift one another up in prayer, because we all need to be filled with the Spirit of God, which in turn will fill us with wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And that is something we all need. We need to increase in the knowledge of God, because you never know enough. We are constantly learning, and we always will be learning, even until the time when we leave this world. You're never done reading the scripture, you're never done learning about the Lord. He always has more to show you. And we know that his understanding is infinite, our understanding is finite, but he can give us spiritual understanding. And there's always more to learn. That's why we never stop reading this book. There's more in here. There's so much that we haven't learned yet. So much that we haven't found yet. So let's keep reading this book.
Amen.
Verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Yes, we have an inheritance. because that blood was applied. And we are the adopted children of the Lord Jesus. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been translated.
Yeah.
Delivered from the power of darkness.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, there's so much darkness in this world. But you know, in Egypt, when the 10 plagues were happening and there was a darkness in the land that was so thick it could be felt, the Israelites had light in their dwellings. And we live in a world today that is so filled with spiritual darkness that it can be felt. There's a pressure to it. And you go out in the world, you can feel that pressure. But you have light in your dwelling. And that light is Jesus Christ who dwells inside you. Why? Because we have been translated into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There's absolutely nothing else that can atone for your sins. You don't earn your way into heaven by being a good person. Your works won't save you. You can't do enough penance, as the Catholics like to do, to try to earn your way. Our only hope is that precious blood of Jesus. And we can stand before God one day knowing that we have no other right to stand in his presence and to be a recipient of his eternal reward, except for the fact that he applied that blood to our hearts. That's how you receive redemption, through the blood. That's how you receive forgiveness of sins, through the blood. That's how you receive victory over the world, through the blood. Verse 15 tells us, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Yes, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Do you know what that means? It means in the book of Genesis, when it tells us that God created man in his image, we were created, Adam was created, all of humanity was created in the image of Jesus Christ, even though that man, that body, had not been made yet. But God, knowing all things, seeing past, present, and future all at the same time, knew exactly what that body would be like. And he fashioned man after that body. We were fashioned after Jesus Christ. That's what it means when it says we're created in God's image, because Jesus Christ is the image of God. Without Jesus Christ, God is invisible, inaccessible. Yet, because he came to this world, put on flesh, that made the throne of grace accessible to us. And because that blood was shed for us, that throne is accessible to us. And we can know God because we can know Jesus Christ. Verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This entire universe is held together by the will of God, created by the Lord Jesus himself. All of the planets are exactly where they need to be, including this one. He hung this planet on nothing, and the only thing holding this planet in place right now is the very will of God.
Right.
And people, you know, they say, well, in this world, what's holding me down to the ground is gravity. But what it really is the will of God, because gravity is the will of God. All of the laws of nature, as they call them, are the will of God. That is the will of God in effect. And you know, they struggle to explain it. They can't figure it out. And, you know, they, for example, they say, well, we figured it out and a bumblebee shouldn't be able to fly. Well, they do. God determined that a bumblebee would fly. And the scientists can't explain why. The wings aren't big enough. They're not strong enough. They can't, you know, shouldn't be able to lift that body. But they do. Why? Because God made that decision. He did that with everything that He created. He decided how we were all going to be. He decided where the mountains would be. He decided where the oceans would be. He decided what this creation would look like, what the plants would look like, where they'd be. He put every single star in the sky, all those billions of stars, and He made each one. Think of that. And He made the sun and the moon as well. He made it all. Of course, we know that the sun in reality is a star, a very close one. But He made that too. He made it all. And it is His will that holds everything in place. Oh yes, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. This entire creation consists by Jesus Christ. Verse 18, and He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Yes, Jesus Christ is to have the preeminence in all things. And He certainly should have the preeminence in your life. Jesus Christ should be the most important thing to you. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. We can have peace with God because of that blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. That blood that was shed to atone for our sins, to reconcile us to God. We would be at odds against God. We would be in conflict against God if that blood had not been shed for us. If that blood had not been applied to our hearts. We can be reconciled to God because of that blood. And because of that, we can be at peace with God. I'm going to read this verse again, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. We owe Him a debt of gratitude for shedding that blood so that we can be reconciled to God, so that we can be recipients of that free gift. Nothing else can atone for our sins. And yet we can be free from sin today. Verse 21 tells us, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Oh, what's that worth to you? To stand in His presence, to be in His sight, but to be holy, to be set apart. That's what the word holy means. To be unblameable, unreprovable, to be justified by His blood. Verse 23, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Yes, Jesus made that mystery known to us. We can be in his presence. We have access to his throne. We are in a far better position today than they were in the old covenant. Because you can go to the throne of grace right now. It was made accessible by the blood of Jesus. And that mystery has been revealed. And he has shed forth his spirit. He has given us his spirit so that we can be at peace with God. And again, that was all made possible because he shed his blood for us. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Oh yes, that's exactly what we need. Christ in us. That's the hope of our glory. And really, it's God's glory, not even our own glory. We glory only in him. And if you know the Lord today, if you've been justified by God, if you've been justified by the blood of Christ, then you are rich beyond your wildest dreams. People say that sometimes, don't they? Oh, I want to be rich beyond my wildest dreams. Well, if you know the Lord, you are rich. And when you fully realize your inheritance, it's going to be beyond anything you ever could have imagined. We talk about heaven sometimes. We try to imagine what it's going to be like, and we know some things about it. But we can't even really fathom what it's going to be like in our minds. It's going to be far better than anything you could ever imagine. And the cares of this life aren't going to matter to you anymore. You're not even going to remember all of the bad things that happened in this world. The Lord is going to wipe away your tears. And you won't remember the sinful nature of this world, all of the trouble and the turmoil.
I believe you, Lord.
Oh, and at that moment, you will realize just how rich you really are. Verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. But yes, that blood was shed so that we can be at peace with God. We can be made one with God. I'm going to read verse 20 again. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. That's how he reconciled us to himself, through that blood that was shed for us. And because of that blood, when you stand before him on judgment day, your sins will not be laid to your charge. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 1, which tells us, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, we can have fellowship today with God because that throne is accessible. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And I hope everyone's joy is full today, because it certainly should be when you realize what the Lord Jesus has done for us in making that throne of grace accessible to us by shedding His blood so that we can be redeemed from our sins, so that we can be justified, so that we can have our sins atoned for. That should fill us with joy to the full. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, but do not the truth. You need to let that light of Jesus Christ permeate your heart, your mind, and your soul. And when you do that, that light will drive out all the darkness, and His blood will cleanse every sin. In fact, it tells us in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The first step in obtaining the victory is to have victory over your sins, to be cleansed from your sins, to have your sins taken away. Thankfully, that's what Jesus Christ can do for us. And it is His blood that blots out those sins. His blood is not like other blood. You know, you think of blood sometimes, and what does normal blood do? It leaves stains, doesn't it? But what does the blood of Jesus Christ do? It removes stains. In fact, it's the only thing that can get the sin out. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 18 tell us, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What gets those sins out? The precious blood of Jesus. We have atonement through that blood. Let's look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 in closing, for just a few verses. Revelation chapter 1, starting with verse 1, tells us, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass, and He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Well, I tell you what, if you want a blessing in your life, one of the easiest ways you can get a blessing in your life is to read this book. Blessed is he that readeth. But don't just read it. You need to hear it too. And not just the book of Revelation, but this entire book. And you know, it's not just enough to read it. It's not just enough to hear it. But you need to keep it. Keep it in your heart. You need to absorb the Word of God. And when you do that, He will write His law on the very tables of your heart. Verse 4 tells us, John, To the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. We know he's the Prince of Peace, but he's also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Why did he do that? Because he loves us. He shed his blood on that cross at Calvary because he loves us. That was his motivation for doing so, because he loves us. And because he did that, we can be free from our sins. We can have our sins taken away today. You don't have to be living a sin-stained life. Those stains can be removed. But there's only one remedy, and that is the blood of Jesus. Verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh yes, he has made us kings and priests in his kingdom. Why? Because we are heirs. We are recipients of his grace, recipients of that blood that was shed for us. Recipients of that free gift. And as such, you have privileges. So if the devil ever tries to torment you, just remind him that you're a child of the King. Remind him that the blood has been applied to your heart. Remind him that you have victory over sin, death, and hell through the blood of Jesus.
The blood prevails. Thank you, Lord.
And the devil has no authority over you. He has no authority over your life because you belong to Jesus. He has made us kings and priests unto God. And we have an inheritance. That inheritance one day will be realized. And that inheritance is eternal life. All of it was made possible because the Lord Jesus shed his blood for us. And we owe him everything for that. Praise the Lord. So thank God for that free gift. And I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy free gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of the blood that was shed for us, the redeeming power of that blood. We are so thankful that we can be cleansed from our sins, that our sins can be covered, that they can be removed, that they can be taken away. We are thankful to know that we can stand before thee on judgment day and stand before thee washed in the blood of the Lamb, purified, cleansed from all unrighteousness, all sin, all wickedness. We are so thankful, Lord, for all that thou hast done. We know that we would have no hope without thee, and we are so thankful, Lord, that we have such a wondrous hope and such a wondrous blessing to look forward to. We pray, Lord, that thou would sustain thy people, that thou would strengthen thy people, that thou would help us, O God, to be mindful of thee, to always keep walking with thee, to be obedient to thee, to never stray from thee. But we pray, Lord, that blood which has been applied in our lives would remain in our lives so that we can be free from all unrighteousness, from every sin, from every iniquity, Lord. We pray, Lord, that thou would help us to walk with thee, strengthen us each and every day for the entirety of our lives. Help us, O God, to be at an estate of atonement with thee, Lord, to be reconciled to thee, to be united with thee, Lord. Bless thy people, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And we are going to sing a chorus in closing. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to turn to number 156. In the chorus book and sing If We Walk in the Light, number 156.
If we walk.
walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.